The reading today is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and just two verses, from verse 19 to 21. Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 19. See it on the first page of your handout. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Great.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you for that introduction, Alfie. If you wouldn't mind just keeping this passage in front of you that was just read. It's just on the inside of your sheet if you've just come in. It is estimated that in 2008 they had an annual spending power of £17 billion. That is more than a third of the annual buying power of their whole country put together. Even though they make up only 10% of their part of the population, they have more than 50% of its buying power. They are part of one of the fastest growing middle classes in the world. They drive luxury cars, live in expensive homes, and wear expensive designer labels. Often they are hardworking, well-educated, credit-worthy individuals with an entrepreneurial drive who are a credit to the economy of their country. But many of them live for the moment and have a strong appetite for instant gratification. Sounds familiar, perhaps? Some will have as many as 6 credit cards while using credit from one card to pay off debt on another. They live on an earn and spend treadmill, often spending what they have yet to earn. These replica millionaires, as they've been described, have a philosophy of life which says the future is about now, or having material things here and now. Controversially, it has been said that many of them live from paycheck to paycheck, and as a result are only ever one paycheck away from financial disaster. They are known as the black diamonds of the South African economy. Interestingly enough, one study showed that female black diamonds represent over 40% of all female consumer spending in South Africa, an estimated £9 billion. So becoming a black diamond, or marrying one then, is to live the South African dream. One financial guru's solution to the problem mentality of this up-and-coming black middle class in South Africa was to suggest the need to think in terms of accumulating assets rather than simply acquiring things, material things. In other words, life is basically about being financially secure rather than simply having lots of stuff, having lots of bling. The black diamond mentality, of course, is not unique to the African continent. Apparently, over 32 million people play the UK lotto every week, with each person buying, on average, 3 tickets each time they play. It seems clear where many people here in the UK think their security can be found. In Matthew, chapter 6, and verses 19 to 21 that was read a few moments by Alfie, I think Jesus is asking a very basic yet related question. And it is a question we all have to consider, whether we are aspiring to earn as much as possible in as little time as possible so we can enjoy early retirement, or in these times of a recovering economy with rising food and fuel bills, where one of those who perhaps need to visit one of the many food banks that have arisen over the last few months in this country. The question Jesus is asking you and me here this afternoon is this: where is your security in this life? Where's your security in this life? See, when all is said and done, what is the one thing in this life that you are relying or depending upon? Well, look at verses 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth and rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Given the ongoing political and economic instability in the Ukraine, in the Middle East, here in the UK, in the wake of the recent Scottish referendum, this is an important question to address, isn't it? In verse 19, Jesus says that earthly treasure, no matter in what form it comes, will always be insecure because it will always deteriorate. This is part of what makes owning things so frustrating and unsatisfying in this life. I wonder, is that your experience? See, this idea is such a universally accepted principle that it is actually enshrined in one of the fundamental laws of nature, the second law of thermodynamics. Now, you may not know what this law is, and perhaps you've never even heard of the word entropy. Nevertheless, it is all around us and relentlessly so. Entropy simply means that the things in this world naturally tend towards decay. A few short years ago, supermarket giant Tesco seemed set to literally take over the world. Today, it's apparently facing its worst crisis in its 95-year history. Things have tended towards decay. But also, maybe that's not the world that you move in. But the fact is, your clothes fade or get ruined by moths or simple old-fashioned wear and tear. Our homes need ongoing renovations. That's if they don't get broken into. Even if your car doesn't get stolen or gets through its next MOT, cars all succumb to what chemists call hydrated iron oxide, otherwise known as rust. Look at verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy. But lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where neither moth and rust destroy. The word rust here in verses 19 and 20 actually means eating, and could also be applied to pests or vermin that devour the things we try to hide away in safe storage. Apparently, no matter where you are in London, you're not very far from some vermin, whether a mouse or a rat. Of course, whether you have mouse in your home or not, everything in this life is slowly being eaten away or is succumbing to the increasing law of entropy. And we do our best to fight the impermanent reality of this world, don't we? So we invest in mothballs, in rust-proof paint, alarm systems, mouse traps, pension provisions, insurance plans, and financial advisors. And we do a pretty good job of preserving the things we have invested in materially in this life. But the fact is, even if we could make the things we own last forever, death laughs at the person who invests everything in this life. You see, entropy is even a part of the very fabric of who you and I are as human beings. Know that, ladies, you've seen those commercials on TV that tell you that you can push back the 7 signs of aging because, of course, you're worth it. And I'm not disputing that, by the way, ladies. But usually there is some gorgeous-looking middle-aged woman whom you're supposed to believe looks the way she does because she religiously uses a certain beauty product. And guys, don't look so smug, because they're now targeting us. There are products on the market that are meant to help combat the 5 signs of fatigue. So apparently, we don't grow old, we just start showing signs of fatigue. But you see, death laughs in the face of all such products. Eventually, we all die. In the Old Testament part of the Bible, one writer sums up the problem in these words: everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil that they can carry in their hands, since they toil for the wind. Elsewhere, Jesus told a parable, a kind of spiritual story, but it's pretty much a commentary on Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. It went a bit like this. A certain young businessman sells his online business. The business he started in his bedroom for £1,000 a few years ago. He sells it for over £80 million through dedication, hard work, drive and determination. He and his wife decide they would retire early in order to enjoy the rest of their lives together while devoting themselves to causes they were passionate about. They own a number of beautiful properties where they live comfortably. One evening, while entertaining family and friends, he was drinking his favourite lager while waiting to watch the big match on his equally big flat-screen TV and multimedia system. He gazed at the two top-of-the-range BMWs sitting in his driveway. "What a lucky man I am," he says to himself. "Life is good. I have all that I need. I can eat, drink, and be merry." And as the pride of his own material success swells up inside him, he also feels a terrible pain swelling up inside his chest. At 52 years of age, his ideal retirement age, he lies dead on a stretcher before the paramedics can get him to the nearby hospital. Only in hell does he finally understand the insecurity of those things he values so highly while alive. His pension pot, his rather impressive investment portfolio, all those properties scattered across the capital, his collection of modern art, etc., etc., etc. Jesus ends this story in Luke chapter 12 with these words: "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." Now, when Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth," in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6, look at it, he is not saying we should give away all we possess. You can breathe a sigh of relief. The Bible nowhere forbids the ownership of private property. Jesus also is not saying that we are not allowed to have savings, whether property, shares, or other valuable assets. In fact, the Bible commends good, responsible stewardship of that which we've been given, especially if our motivation is to care for our immediate family members and for those we come into contact with. And let me be clear, Jesus is not saying that you and I should feel guilty for enjoying the good things of this life, especially if we've been honest and hardworking in the process of getting them. No, not at all. No, what Jesus is saying here is that earthly material things, things of this world, are insecure. Whether material wealth or valuable assets. So they're not worth you and I investing everything in. It's unwise business practice, isn't it, to invest in a company that you know is heading for liquidation. You don't need a business degree to know that much, do you? Likewise, it is unwise to invest in things which do not last forever and cannot be enjoyed forever. See, Jesus is not so much concerned with your material wealth and your assets as he is with your attitude towards those things. Notice in verses 19, 20, and 21, Jesus uses the word treasure. Look at verse 19. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth." Verse 20, "But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven." Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus deliberately does not use the word money or the word for material things here. The word treasure is used instead as an all-embracing term that includes absolutely anything and everything that you and I are tempted to live for. That is anything that binds or tethers my heart and your heart to this world rather than to the world to come. Jesus is warning against the attitude that confines all a person's ambitions, hopes, dreams, and interests to the bubble that is this life. As if this life, your little bubble, is all there really is. So again, let me ask you, where is your security in this life? What is pulling at your heartstrings? When your mind goes into neutral, when you daydream, what is it that you are daydreaming about? See, this is really important because according to verse 21, you and I will give our heart, the core of our being, our motivations, our drive, our determination, we'll give our heart to the thing we value most in this life. The things you and I treasure actually govern our lives, whatever they be. They will be constantly tugging away at our minds and our emotions. By studying your deepest desires, you and I can pretty soon discover what or who our real treasure is. On my recent summer holiday in Jersey, while swimming in the sea, I noticed again that if you have a fixed point of reference on the beach, almost without being conscious of it, of what is happening, you will soon notice yourself naturally drifting with the waves and the current to the dismay of the lifeguard on duty. In a similar way, our lives naturally drift towards where our treasure is stored because that is where our hearts will inevitably take us. And Jesus is warning you and I in this passage that it is a terrible, terrible thing for our hearts to be gripped by the wrong kind of treasure. He says our security is not, verse 19, to be found here on earth, in earthly things, but rather, verse 20, in heaven itself. And the Bible calls this attitude of constantly allowing our hearts to be gripped by other things sin. And it leads to all sorts of sinful actions as we pursue those things that we think are worth treasuring and that we think will give us ultimate security, the security we so deeply crave. But Jesus is saying here that only the Christian man or woman has truly sound investments or assets. Assets that will bring everlasting security. You see, a Christian is someone trusting, not in this earth, but in the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a guaranteed future, which is truly where their treasure and security lies. That is where your heart needs to be this afternoon. What elsewhere is described as an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It cannot be taken from you, unlike the wealth, the assets, and the material things you accumulate in this life. It is the one treasure in this life that is not subject to entropy, because it is kept for you, if you're a Christian here this afternoon, by God himself, who alone stands above and beyond the decay and insecurity of this world. That is the point verse 20 is making. Look at verse 20. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus is saying, if you are after a safe investment here today, that will give you assets that will bring real security, you will find none safer than this. As a result, the New Testament is constantly exhorting you and I to set our hearts and minds on things above. In other words, we need to nurture and consistently develop within ourselves a loyalty to our heavenly treasure, making sure that it alone is our deepest love and most valued possession. And of course, that will need to be reflected in our priorities and the things that consume our time, our money, our efforts, and our dreams. That is why in the Bible, followers of Jesus Christ who are rich are warned not to arrogantly put their hope in their wealth, because, well, wealth is so insecure, isn't it? You see, you and I are all too familiar with the fact that economies crash. Recessions hit. Banks foreclose. Our houses need maintenance. Material things get old or break. And you and I, our very selves, age, fatigue, and eventually we die. So instead, the New Testament exhorts us to put our hope in God. As a result, if we do become wealthy, the New Testament command us to be rich in good deeds and to be willing to give away our wealth to help others. One New Testament writer expresses it this way. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. A South African leadership expert, scholar, and businessman tells the true story of how one day he was driving on the motorway past the scene of a fatal road traffic accident. One of the cars involved in the crash was a Series 5 BMW driven by a wealthy-looking black man, and his girlfriend was sitting in the passenger seat next to him. The other car was an old Toyota Corolla driven by a white couple. When the paramedics arrived at the scene, the white couple were immediately airlifted to the nearest hospital for treatment. This black man and his girlfriend, however, were left to wait, lying and bleeding in their critical condition at the scene, until eventually an ambulance arrived to take them to the nearest government hospital. Onlookers began to wonder whether this shameful treatment of this black couple was perhaps racially motivated. The reality, however, was that the wealthy black driver of that BMW had decided not to bother getting medical aid cover, and so couldn't be airlifted in that critical hour of great need, even though he could have actually afforded to have medical cover. Now, the purpose of me telling you that story is not to encourage you to earn lots of money so that you can afford the very best private care that NHS has to offer you. No. Now, the purpose of me telling you that story is to illustrate that many people, perhaps you're one such person here this afternoon, are just as careless as the driver of that BMW with respect to their spiritual well-being. In other words, you are chasing after security here and now, thinking it is in things you, well, cannot really afford. And actually, if the truth be known, you don't really need, whether valuable assets, wealth, or material possessions. But that which you so desperately need and can afford to have, you foolishly have decided, well, it's not really worth bothering. You see, the bottom line is this. The only treasure truly worth having in this life and the next, says Jesus, is the treasure of knowing God and being known by Him. This is an asset worth having because in possessing it is great and everlasting reward and security. And the great news of the Bible is that we can all afford it no matter what we have in this life, whether we are rich or poor. Because although it cost God the Father the death of His precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly died on the cross, taking the punishment that you and I deserve in our place, because of our waywardness. In other words, it cost God the Father everything, yet He offers it to you and I free of charge. It costs us absolutely nothing. And the Bible calls this grace. In other words, it is a kindness you and I know deep down in our hearts that we don't deserve. Yet this is what is on offer in the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only place where our hearts, yours and mine, will find true security. You see, things don't last forever. Only people like you and I do. See, the most important things in life are not actually things. It's people like you and I. So can I ask you, where are you investing your heart? Can I ask you as we close, where is your security in this life? Let's bow our heads and pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that you might forgive us for thinking that we can find treasure and security outside of a relationship with you. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for each of us here this afternoon so that we can be forgiven and accepted into relationship by you. Help each one of us here today to begin trusting you if we haven't already, or to continue trusting you and to start storing up for ourselves treasure in heaven. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.